Blog Talk Radio.
Back in the building. The cookout is about to go down. The call-in number is 929-477-2759. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you are here with the chefs. This is a very interesting show that we have on Slate. I opened up the doors of the kitchen today, and I know everybody was at the brunch, and we had a very heated debate. And before I get into everything that went down on the brunch on Sunday, I'm a little teed off at myself about how I picked this weekend. I did not do great. I probably did the worst out of everybody that came to the kitchen picking games. But nevertheless, we had a brief discussion in the midst of the kitchen on things about who would be the best quarterback of all time. And, you know, we had people come to the kitchen and say, well, to create a show throughout the week, we'll have a discussion then. Because I don't want to like to try to squeeze too much stuff in the midst of the brunch, because the brunch is more or less try to pan around our picks, fantasy feature players throughout the game, and try to get in and out of the kitchen as best as possible. And it seems like the mystique is going around that the brunch is back, so a lot of people have been diving into the kitchen, and we're getting a lot of feedback on, you know, trying to get another show produced, so on and so forth. So I came up with the show today to try and bring up this discussion, because I know this would be a heated debate on who would be the better quarterback between Tom Brady against the field. And I mean, there's so many quarterbacks that you could throw into the carousel. Like, I mean, if you want to compare the hardware, you would throw Bradshaw, you would throw Montana, you could throw Aikman. I'm trying to think of everybody that has over, like, three, you know. But Aikman has three. You got Bradshaw, Montana that have four. Tom has six. The Peyton Manning and Drew Brees, but Drew only has one. Peyton has two. Roethlisberger has two as well. Just to try to throw out as many quarterbacks off the top of my head as the kitchen starts to fill in with people that are coming by tonight and thinking about who they would try to come up with, because I definitely have a hell of a recipe to back Tom Brady. And I'm not in a situation where I'm comfortable debating or backing up Tom Brady, because I had to learn to respect Tom Brady up until this point. It was up until the year 2011, 2012. You can ask Mr. Controversy, James Greenwood, because we were on the show together when I said it. And that was the year that he lost to the Giants again in the Super Bowl. And I said, this is it. I don't think Brady has another championship up his sleeve. And it's like he heard me. And it's like he went into the backyard and started throwing the ball around a lot and got so serious about everything. And got back to the Super Bowl four different times after that and lost once, but won three more after. So, I mean, I want to have this discussion without even trying. I'm going to try my best to try and have this discussion without talking hardware or bringing up his Super Bowl wins, because obviously it's a team game. I can't get past that. And the mindset, or the great mind of Bill Belichick, helps corral the situation for the Patriots. So, you know, defensively, thinking what they can do with a lot of teams that are young and don't know how to deal with the juggernaut in the offseason. And a lot of people are correct that, you know, all the Patriots have to do is just do better than everybody in their division. You're at least, you know, guaranteed a spot in the playoffs. And if they win more than 11 games, just to give a ballpark number, then they could potentially get a first-round bye, which I understand where they're coming from. People say all they have to do is win one or two games. Well, they win one game and they'll be in the AFC Championship. If they hold on and win that AFC Championship, they'd be in another Super Bowl. But for them to be in this position or in the Super Bowl nine different times during the Brady era in itself, it speaks volumes. But I'm going to, you know, once people start to pour in, I'm going to do my best to try and have the discussion without saying anything about, you know, his Super Bowl wins, because I feel like it's an unfair argument. That's how I looked at it today with everything that I have written to back Tom Brady. And no means, I know a lot of people, as of the past couple of years, heard me back Brady for what he's been able to do with the Patriots. But, I, you know, now it's like I have to really read out this doggone resume and be comfortable with putting this up against everybody, whether it's Dan Marino, whether it's Elway. I forgot to mention Elway, too. Elway's a guy that's been in multiple Super Bowls as well, but Elway lost more Super Bowl than he won, but he won his two at the end of his career and won one walking out of the building in 98. So that was, you know, a very interesting feat in itself. But, yeah, man, it just interesting how everybody came to the kitchen and wanted to bring that up, Mr. the show. And I just want to see who brings up what. And the healthier part of the conversation that I could look at would be Joe Montana, you know, because Joe has four. A part of San Francisco and that legacy that they built in the early 80s and what they were able to do with Rice, Taylor, Clark, Jones, Roger Craig, Rathman, and then the defense as well. I mean, I can't involve the defense because this is a quarterback discussion, but, you know, he had his pieces around him, walked into the West Coast offense, and basically became the poster boy of the West Coast offense, helping Bill Walsh and, you know, company, you know, attain four championships while they are, you know, were together from the bitter beginning of the 80s until he left around 91, 92 after the injury against the Giants and then going to Kansas City in 93. But I look at Bradshaw. I mean, Bradshaw was able to get the four championships in the 70s with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Different breed of ball, I think, that, you know, it was more of a balanced situation. The defense helped the offense get the ball back. And, you know, he had a good cast around him as well with Swan, Stallworth, and, you know, Franco Harris being a running back behind him. And I really don't want to include Franco into the passing game. A lot of people will say, yeah, you have to, and throwing in the immaculate reception being one of the biggest catches in football history. I definitely could include that, but I don't want to, you know, put a running back in his discussion, even though you can, if you feel like he was a better receiver out of the backfield and made things happen, great. I clearly want to have this discussion without involving championships to bring up the true, you know, essence of what these quarterbacks mean to the game. So I don't know, man. I'm waiting on them to pour in. I'm trying to hold it down as best as I can. Before I do keep spilling more of the tea on the situation, I'm going to quickly discuss how I feel about the Thursday night matchup with the Philadelphia Eagles visiting the Green Bay Packers. They visit the Green Bay Packers tomorrow for a Thursday night game. And this is something that we talked about in a bunch. A lot of the games that were in Thursday night or some of the Monday night games don't have the wow value to it, or the game that you want to go see is more or less you kind of know what's going to happen. And, thinking about the situation around the Philadelphia Eagles, that they're injured going into Lambeau is going to be a questionable situation, and the Packers are on fire at this point in time, undefeated, and they can try to take advantage of a Philadelphia Eagle team who's injured. They have this is bad that I'm saying this right now in week 4. This is a must-win game for the Philadelphia Eagles for them to lose their last two games up against the Lions and the Atlanta Falcons, and then winning their lone game up against the Washington Redskins. It speaks a lot on where this team could be headed, where a lot of people that, you know, were around Sports City and talking sports, so on and so forth, seeing this Philadelphia Eagles team as being a threat throughout this season. And injuries are part of the game, and I don't like to have injuries way out of season, especially the way that people are looking at things of their outcome, so on and so forth. And fall short just because of that. It's tough, because Philadelphia does have the pieces to get it done. They are 2 years removed from a Super Bowl championship. They have a lot of the people there from that championship run, but there are some pieces that are gone as well. But with them being without DeSean Jackson, with them being without Alshon Jeffrey, it definitely, you know, put the questionable situation on this Eagles team if they can get back into the running, because the Dallas Cowboys are off and running up until the early portion of the season. But to be fair, the Cowboys have not played a strong opponent yet, to me. They played the Giants, they played the Redskins, and they played the Dolphins, in which the Giants were the only team that got their win out of that. So there's a bunch of losses on the board between the three of them. There's only one win there, where the Giants just eked out a win this week up against the Tampa Bay Bucks in Daniel Jones' first start. And I know a lot of people are feeling that electricity around New York, saying that, Jones is the guy. Well, of course, he's the starter for the remainder of the season. I don't know if he turns this around for the Giants team. It'd be interesting to see if he can get this team to be a legit threat back in the NFC East and try to threaten, let's just say, the likes of Dallas. Let's just say if they can get back into this, because they already lost one game, you know, while Eli was running the show. Their next game will be in the middle of the Meadowlands at MetLife. If he can try to avenge their loss down there in Texas, it can make it interesting, especially if they start running off wins to at least try to get back to 500 or play better than 500 ball. But this is a waiting to be seen situation, and be calm and cool about it. They beat Tampa Bay. The question marks that I have swirling around Tampa Bay, it just baffles me, because they have the pieces there to win games, but they haven't won, you know, significant games. They beat Carolina, and that was interesting in itself for them to beat Carolina, but yet, you know, Carolina's dealing with an injured Cam Newton, and now they have a backup running the show for him. There's a lot of injuries around the NFL, too, to say the most, especially at the quarterback position, too. And, the story is swirling around if Kyler could get another job. They're trying to, you know, not bring him back to the NFL, because they don't want to have that aura of fans coming in there booing them or watching them kneel during the anthem. So I definitely understand where they might be coming from. But it's, you know, to each his own. I definitely would love to see Kaepernick on the field if he could get out there on the field, because I think he has the ability to do good or be better than some of the names across the league that are getting playing time or being considered to be a backup, just in case if any of these teams run into an injury. There's another game that I feel some type of way about. was the Ravens-Kansas City game, and the Ravens made it a game. They lost the game 33-28, in which, it came down to a last-minute possession, and Lamar Jackson carried his team back into the game, but Kansas City was just a little too much to eke this game out by 33-28. I'm impressed with what Lamar Jackson was able to do up until this point, especially to go into Arrowhead and make it a challenging situation up against the one of the league. I won't even just say the best. I'll just say one of the league's best offenses. I won't just say the team, because they have their issues defensively. But one of the best offenses that the league has ever seen, not even just this season, ever. But they do have a big injury with Tyreek not being there for them. I think they'd be way more explosive if they had this home run hitter on their team. But nevertheless, Lamar Jackson, to be the age that he is, to go in the Arrowhead and knowing that's a tough environment to go ahead and win in. I was pulling for the Ravens, especially for the purposes of the show, because a lot of people just went straight Kansas City, and I felt like the way that he started the season out, I thought that Lamar had an upset up his sleeve. I was wrong, and I definitely will accept it, but I definitely felt good feeling him trying to get back into the game and make it something for this matchup. And they both are young. They're definitely going to be the names at least around the AFC for the next, I just say, the next 5 to 7 years. Hopefully they hope both of their careers go in the upward position, so we'll see how that pans out. About a lot of people that know me already, well, everybody that knows me, supposed to know I'm a Lion fan. Definitely happy for the win that they were able to pull off up against Philadelphia. That's why I said this is a must-win situation for the Philadelphia Eagles, for them to lose that game up against the Lions, in which the Lions made this a game early. The Eagles scored first. The Lions scored right back on the return kickoff, and then the Eagles scored right back on that next drive, and then the Lions got the lead and never looked back. Even though the Eagles made it an interesting game, there was no, you know, lead takeover, if you will, from the Philadelphia Eagles. And the reason why I question it is because I think the last time the Lions went into Philadelphia, they lost the game, even though I think it was the Snow Bowl game where it was like 8 inches of snow and they didn't want to clear the field at all. And in the first quarter, Calvin caught a pass and the snow was in his doggone helmet. As you know, it goes 4 and out, and then they didn't even play Calvin again in the game, and Philly won that game, and that was when LeSean McCoy was around. And I know it's a tough environment for them to win, but the last time they played the Eagles in Philadelphia before that game, I think it was like 2010 or 2011, where they came up with a late-game overtime victory up against the Eagles, too. So it was a 50-50 situation I felt about the game. I still pulled for the Lions because I felt like the injury that would hamper the Eagles will make it tougher for them, but the Eagles fought well. Ertz had a big day. Aguilar, even though he had a couple of drops, well, the total team had 7 drops within the game also. So with Aguilar having a few drops in the game, there's critical fumbles by Sanders as well. And, you know, I didn't think that would pan out in the middle of the link, but it worked out in the Lions' favor. And the Eagles are off to a questionable start, and the Lions are off to a start that a lot of people didn't think they would be off to, winning their last 2 games up against the Philadelphia Eagles and the Los Angeles Chargers. I want to say that the correct way. Yeah, man, I mean, the best thing that I can say right now is I wish that they would have came to the kitchen, because I really had this set up to try and get these guys to discuss the situation, but nobody wants to smoke today. Some people said they were going to try and get in later, but I'm trying to get this to carry out until they get here. But for the game, I went straight off course. For the game for tomorrow, my pick for the game is Green Bay. There's no way I could look past Green Bay getting off to this excellent start that they're off to. And there was some you know, picture that was painted on the stats that Aaron Rodgers is putting up now. He's not having the best season that we all know him to have, but they're undefeated with him, you know, trying to find his way with the receivers that he has. He doesn't really have his household name in Randall Cobb or Jordy Nelson. He does have a household name in Jimmy Graham, but, you know, they have other playmakers, Davante Adams, you know, just thinking about Geronimo, you know, the players that they have out there to make plays on the outside for Aaron Rodgers. It's a difficult situation, well, for other quarterbacks. But for Aaron Rodgers, as long as they're open or eligible to make a catch, he'll actually fit it in those windows so he can, you know, get his completion going. So I feel like this is a troublesome situation for the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going to say this on air. I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers to remain unbeaten up against the Philadelphia Eagles, dealing with injuries on the road coming into Lambeau, and for them to have some struggling losses back-to-back down there in Atlanta with a late game, you know, short hitch pass to Julio that ended up on the house, and the Lions is hanging on to a 10-point lead that got cut to 7, a blocked field goal where the Lions could have increased it to 6, and unfortunate block in the back penalty happens for the Eagles, pushes them to like the 45, and they couldn't move the ball as much as they wanted to. But for my pick for the quarterback is a no-brainer. I was going with Brady. There's so many different accolades that I have here written outside of him winning the Super Bowls. I don't even want to put his postseason things on the line. He is one of two quarterbacks that has 70,000 passing yards and 1,000 yards rushing. And it's not even like, oh, he has a 1,000-yard rusher, because you know Brady don't run. Everybody knows Brady runs a 5.28 40. When I was 14, I ran a 5.1, and that was as a lineman. So knowing it got better, but just knowing that he was 21, 22 running that, and knowing that he's probably slower now, but for him to have these type of numbers speaks volumes. He's the most winningest quarterback in the NFL. He has over 207 wins as a starter. He has at home, the number that he has at home is, I think it's 115, if I'm not mistaken. He has 115 home wins. And the crazy part about him winning 115 wins in Gillette, I really don't want to use that stat, but I have to, because that's a part of the 207 wins. It's almost like frightening for a you know, opposition coming into the building in the Massachusetts and trying to win a game. And, yes, teams have done it. Teams have gone into Massachusetts and won games, but he hasn't really lost it. Just think about 115 out of 207 and is more than half, and he's still doing damage on the road also. He has the best TD to interception ratio, being 28 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. He has 92 road wins, the most for a quarterback. He tore his ACL. A lot of quarterbacks struggle with tearing a knee like that and being able to come back, and not only coming back but being successful and still keeping them right on the top of the mountaintop. And a lot of people will still debate, well, he's going into the AFC East and having to deal with the New York Jets and the Buffalo Bills and the Dolphins. I understand. And I agree with you, because if these teams recruited and picked up the right pieces, whether it was in free agency or made the right trades, then I feel like they'd be more successful. But I look at the Patriots, too. I look at the Patriots like they don't go out there and get blockbuster names. When they do, everybody thinks they're cheating or Belichick is up to something or somebody just bought into the Patriot way, you know. So for Belichick to go get anybody, I don't really want to call all of these players no-namers, but these guys aren't the Randy Mosses and the Wes Welkers that they hit on, because then you look at the season that Brady had in 2007 and went 18-0. Even though they lost that game to the Giants, they went 18-1. I can't even think of the last time a quarterback won 18 games in a season. If you could think of something close to that, would it be Greasy? It'd be Bob Greasy with the Miami Dolphins in the 70s, if I'm correct. I mean, you got a lot of quarterbacks that won a bunch of games, lost a game in the middle of a season. You had Ben Roethlisberger did that. Peyton Manning did it as well. But I actually, as much as I love Ben, even though a lot of people pick on Ben because of his off-the-field antics, Ben is removed from the conversation. And Peyton Manning is as awesome as Peyton is, even though I don't like him personally, but I know he's an awesome quarterback. Peyton has now been removed from the conversation. He's been now been removed from the conversation because all of the electricity that Peyton puts up in the regular season, he doesn't do it in the postseason. It's something that always falls flat for him. And a lot of the times, he bumped into this man himself being Tom Brady. So it's hard for me to try to put Peyton into this conversation. But I'm gonna continue to rattle off a lot of what I have. Like I said, the best touchdown to interception ratio, 28-2. The only quarterback in NFL history to have 3 consecutive games with over 300 passing yards and 3 touchdowns and no interceptions. The oldest quarterback in the league to lead the league in pass yards, and this was 2 years ago when at the age of 40, he led the league in passing. Most yards in a single season as a quarterback at the age of 40 or older, and this was that year. He had 4,000 yards, 577 yards. Again, the 70,000 yards passing, the most career pass yards with one team. He holds that record, 70,514. Drew Brees would be in a discussion, but he has some of his passing yards with the San Diego Chargers at that time. They're the Los Angeles Chargers now. He has the most career passing touchdowns with one team, being 517. Drew Brees is up there too, but some of his passing touchdowns came with the Chargers as well, so that kind of throws him under the bus. Brady has 14 Pro Bowl selections. He's tied for number one. Most seasons quarterback for one team being 19. And most seasons as a passing touchdown leader. And that's he's tied with 4 with someone else. So, and that's just regular season stuff. I don't want to just spill into his postseason and Super Bowl era, because that's where, you know, people will be like, well, he's on the Patriots. He has Belichick. And it's a different era, and I want to just come with what I can bring right now. And it would have been cool to get everybody here to try and rile them up, but I was getting some late-night situations on how people could or could not pop up. But if people would have popped up, oh, we do have somebody here in the building. Okay, so this is the guy I'm waiting for. Mike, welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
Well, I'd rather be called the Carmelo Anthony truther instead of Mike, if you don't mind, Timeless.
And listen, if you're going to keep picking on Carmelo every show, I don't know what that's
about.
Well,
no, that's
like,
just
like
my name. That's just my name. I'll just go by that name. So, I mean, but how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Yourself?
I'm doing good. I remember the discussion we had Sunday. So I was just wanted to pop up and see what's going on.
Okay, so let's have at it. So you, the quarterback that you're bringing to the cookout, whichever one, it's Brady versus the field. So whomever you're rolling with, and give me the resume.
Well, for me, there are only two in the field, Brady and Joe Montana, and then the field. That's my only argument with the discussion we had on Sunday, was I pretty much agreed with you on Tom Brady, but Joe Montana has to be right with them, and then the field. So that was my whole argument I was trying to make. And the main issue, and I have a few of them, I'll start off right here, is with the rules of the game, the durability, the rule changes that have favored Brady that, in my opinion, gave him a 3 to 5 extra years than you would if he was playing in Joe Montana's era. And I just remember, I'm 47 years old, so I'm going back to Lawrence Taylor and the Giants. What did he do to Joe Theismann? We'll go back to the 85 Bears. The Redskins were basically a mini dynasty in the 80s. So I saw some of the best football teams of all time, and Joe Montana still won 4 Super Bowls in that time. He was 4 for 4. There was no losing any Super Bowls for Joe Montana at all. And I go to Tom Brady, and hey, I love Brady. He's in Montana 1A, 1B, whatever you want to call him. The division he was in, obviously, other than the Jets for about a two, three-year stretch. The division's been an automatic with that basically giving him a first-round bye and at least a second-round playoff game at home. So I just think Brady's path, the rule changes, the other dynasties or great teams we saw in the 80s compared to what's in the AFC now, and, everyone wants to go, well, what about Peyton Manning? Well, what about Peyton Manning's playoff record? Okay, he's one of the best regular season quarterbacks of all time, but if you think that Brady was beating Manning and you want to say that was the great dynasty that Brady was overcoming, I don't buy that, because I never considered the Colts some great team with Peyton Manning. I mean, just look at his playoff record. Look at the Steelers, the other team that has been there with the Patriots that you say could be the other, mini dynasty. Well, the only years the Steelers even won their Super Bowls recently with Roethlisberger is when, the Jets knocked off the Patriots that one year, and when the Broncos knocked them off. So Steelers have never been in the conversation. They never knocked New England out of the playoffs or never even beat them in New England, period. So I'm just saying that the whole path for Brady compared to Montana has been a lot easier. Montana's 4 for 4 in Super Bowls, and Brady, yes, he's 6, been in 9, unbelievable. A lot of those could have went either way. If you remember Joe Montana, other than that one, I think his 3rd against Cincinnati where he threw the touchdown pass to John Taylor to win in the last minute, those were basically blowouts against Dan Marino and Miami. First Super Bowl was a little closer on the scoreboard than it really was, and then the demolition of John Elway and the Broncos, I think 55-10. So that's basically kind of my – just to get it started off with argument times.
And see, I told myself I didn't even want to, use any, ammunition from Brady's postseason or Super Bowl runs, and it's like – a lot of people would be like, well, it's not fair. He's on the Patriots. He's with Belichick and yada, yada, yada. And I didn't want to do that. But just from what I'm able to get from Brady, and I understand people's debate or argument about the rule changes and, oh, it's a different era. And if Brady was able to play against those defenses, yeah, they would still have to get to him, regardless if they're hitting him like that or not. if they're not able to get back there, because you know Brady gets a ton of time back there. If they're not getting to the quarterback, then it's a different ballgame. Brady's still able to be upright and make those passes downfield. And I give you credit, Mike. I give you credit for the game this weekend up against the Jets, because you called the Jets with cover, but Brady was already up 30-0, and they took him out in the third quarter. And it's like, when have you ever seen Brady come? When have you ever seen Brady come out of a game? It's like, you have never seen Brady come out of a game. I've seen Brady play up against the likes of the Redskins that year when they went undefeated. They were up 50-something to nothing, and he still was playing. And it, and also in the game up against Miami, he was up 43-0, and he still was playing. Like, this game at home up against the Jets, they want to sit him? Like, what is that? But and nevertheless, and I give the Patriots defense some credit, because they haven't given up a touchdown up until this point. But nevertheless, I'm losing track of where I'm going with the Brady situation. But it's like, he's a gamer. He's the one that wants to, you know, continue playing and get pumped up and score touchdowns on a one-yard run and spike the ball in front of your middle linebacker. Like, he's gutsy. Like, I don't see the likes of Peyton Manning trying to make a scramble on a game-deciding play like this, or Joe Montana trying to take off up the middle, making this thing happen, let alone can you think of a quarterback like Montana or Marino or Peyton being scramblers? And like I said, he has 70,000 passing yards and 1,000 yards rushing. And I'm just saying, like, he's the best rusher. Like, I don't want to say Brady's the best rusher, because my favorite quarterback, even though a lot of people laugh at me, my favorite quarterback all the time was Randall, because Randall could haul that ball and he could run. You know, like he could throw deep, or if he took off, he would frustrate the defense. And so that's the type of football that I do like. But knowing what Brady's able to do with the pieces that he has on the field, the first three championships that he had, just think about the players that he had on the field. He had Deion Branch. He had David Givens. Like these are names that you forget unless you're a real football player. Like, you can remember Jerry Rice. You can remember John Taylor. You can remember Clark. You can remember Roger Craig. You can remember Tom Rathman. You can remember Jones. Like, you can remember these guys that are part of the cavalry. If you're not a pure football player, you're not going to remember half of the offenses that Brady was running with, let alone the offense that you remember is the team that went 18-1, where they broke records. And besides, I want to say, after Brady did it with, the likes of Drew Brees and Mahomes recently, and Peyton Manning in that last season with Denver, there wasn't too many quarterbacks at 250 touchdowns. Brady was the first to get that done. Like, he did that first. Like, and that kind of opened up the door for everybody else to get it done. Like, and that was the first time that he finally got weapons. Like when he finally got weapons, when he had a Wes Walker underneath to make a difference, and Randy to take the whole top of the defense, forget the top off. Like, everybody and their mother was going after 81. Like, it was unfair. Like, it was unfair. The only way that you were gonna beat Brady is if you beat that offensive lineup. That's what proved with the Giants. Other than that, this guy picks you apart. Let alone he learned a new recipe on how to be productive and win games is get the ball out quick. And the one game I really had to give him total respect last year, and I really felt like he was unstoppable, was that playoff game up against the Chargers. And everybody knew how electric that defense was that L.A. was bringing out there. And everybody was like, oh, well, Ingram and Bosa, their pass rush is incredible. And they should be able to get to Brady. Brady was getting that ball out in 1.5 seconds to watch Edelman eat them apart. And they couldn't do anything to him. And it was to the point where Bosa was coming to the sideline. They had him mic'd up. And he's like, we just can't get back there. Like, and he said after a while, like in the third or fourth quarter, like he would get back there but couldn't get the sack or the pressure. And Tom Brady would just pat him and just on his backside. And he was like, you know, good job, Bosa. And then Bosa turned into, you know, like he was starstruck. Like, oh, Tom, like he fell in love in the middle of a playoff game. And knowing that the season is on the line right here, like, defeating them in the midst of the game, like playing the game within the game, like beating these guys, and let alone he doing it with players like, you know, Edelman being a smaller guy or another smaller guy in Amendola before Amendola left, or, you know, the notables that he had. I mean, the one cheat code that he had was Gronkowski. Gronkowski being 6'7", 270, and Jack to be a tight end and having 4 or 5 speed is another beast in the midst of the field. But he's already making Philip Dorsett look like a household name. You also have the likes of Josh Gordon, where everybody in the league gave up on him because he was smoking a ton of weed, and Brady making it, you know, a case for him being a threat once again. And they were all flying to an interesting startup until this point, this regular season, even though they have a real tough, well, I wouldn't say real tough, but this is a tough matchup for them, a division battle where a lot of people are feeling a certain way with them playing Buffalo. This should be an interesting matchup. But, I mean, like I said, if I'm looking at the quarterbacks to be in the discussion, it would be Montana. I throw Montana in there. I throw Bradshaw in there. I mean, a lot of people would throw the likes of Troy Aikman to me because Troy won three. I could throw Troy Aikman in the conversation. And just like you said, I feel the same way about Peyton Manning, Peyton being a regular season quarterback and all of the accolades that he's done in the regular season. But it's like once the lights come on in the month of January, where it gets a little cold, if he's not in the dome, where it was the RCA dome and it turned into Lucas Oil, if he got out of there and he played in cold weather, it got interesting until he got to Denver on his farewell tour. And they basically, I'm going to say it, they basically gave him a Super Bowl, because I can't think of a quarterback winning a Super Bowl with 149 yards passing and no touchdown passes thrown. I can't. Like I don't even look at Peyton accepting that award to win the championship, and the MVP went to Von Miller. But I'm not taking anything away from his two championships. He went out on the same type of note that John Elway did. It's kind of like set up the way that Elway went out. So that in itself, and I'm trying my best to stay away from postseason play. I'm doing as much as I can with what Brady was able to do from his week one to week 17 run. And I understand that, you know, the division is weak. I'll agree. The AFC East is weak. Who's won it? I think the Jets won it that one year. Other than the Jets, if the Jets didn't win that one year, it's been Brady and the rest of the, the cavalry out there in Massachusetts. It's not even an interesting discussion when you're talking to AFC East. But other than that, I really can't think of any quarterback that makes this discussion legit. I understand it was a tougher era back in the 80s or the 70s, if we're throwing that out there, with Bradshaw and the Steel Curtain and them, with Swan and them. But if I look at Joe Montana in the 80s, I mean, the only team that rivaled them in the NFC was the Giants, LT and them. But if I'm looking at that, I'm looking at Phil Simms compared to Joe Montana. You give me another team. The Redskins?
The Redskins, the Bears, the Giants.
The Bears? The Bears were horrible. Look, outside of 85, the Bears were horrible.
No. No, they weren't horrible.
No.
They were from about in 84, the year before they won, the Niners beat 84. The Bears in the Niners beat the Bears in the NFC Championship in 84. I believe it was 20-0, correct? That was the whole game that Bill Walsh ran one of the offensive linemen for a touchdown to rub it in the Bears' nose, and the next year the Bears ran it in the Niners' nose with the fridge. So the Bears were coming on by 84. They weren't terrible, and then all of a sudden just great in 85. They went to about 84 to 87 where they were, real contenders, in my opinion. But the Redskins were there the whole time. They had a lot tougher division. The Saints, with those linebackers, they were there in that time of Montana. The Rams were a decent team. Go ahead.
Wait. Okay. Hold on. Walter Payton played from the late 70s into the 80s, right? He only had I think they said three winning seasons in his entirety of his career. I'm not buying them being a threat. The Redskins, they had one season legitly two, that one with the Raiders and then the one where they beat the Broncos in 87 with Doug Williams, because my father's a Redskins fan, so I have to know that.
How about the one they beat the Miami Dolphins? They beat the Dolphins in 82. So they beat the Dolphins. They beat the Dolphins. They beat the Broncos. And they beat in the early 90s. Buffalo.
They beat Buffalo. He was gone. When Rippon ran that show, in 90, that's 92, right? Montana was out of the, he was out of the league, and well, not out of the league, he was injured the Marshall hit. He took the Marshall hit in 91. He took the Marshall hit in 91, and he went to the Chiefs right after that.
Okay, I'm trying to put this together because when the Cowboys beat the 49ers in 92 to go to their first Super Bowl since the 70s, Montana was on
that
team. He was backing up Steve Young, but he was still on the team in 92. And then the following year, he went to play for the Chiefs.
Okay, so so that's even helping my case. Even if he's the backup, which I really don't think at that time that was Seifert, if I'm not mistaken, right? Or was Walsh still running the show? I think Seifert was the guy at this point, right?
Yes, he was. Seifert was correct.
So even at this point, they didn't want to meddle with Joe Montana because he was injured at this point. Because if Joe Montana is the legend and great at this point, they would get him out there. But at this point in time, and this also speaks to the durability of Tom Brady. Think about this. This guy came up in an era where when you tore a ligament in your leg, they basically called that doomsday. Or if you tore an Achilles, or he didn't tear his Achilles, but he tore a ligament in his knee, everybody thought it was finished. He came back and had to, build the confidence within himself to go back out there and make those throws. Because I remember the first game that he came back that following season after he tore his knee, he was making passes and lifting his leg up off the ground so he made sure that it wasn't planted, because he was just ginger about it. But finally building that confidence up and making every throw, I mean, he still doesn't have the power that he once had to get the ball downfield like for 70 or 60-yard passes. But for him to be as efficient as he is and the completion rate that he's supposed to get and with the name that he has around him, I mean, it speaks volumes. Like, think about it. Outside of Moss, right, Moss he had for 2 years because 1 year he was out, but Moss played 3 years there, right? Outside of the Moss-Welker year, you can't give me stud receivers that Brady had.
No, I can't give it to you. That's one point I won't argue as far as, I mean, how can you argue who had better receivers? Jerry Rice or
right.
Whatever.
He had Rice and Taylor. He had Rice and Taylor. He had Rice and Taylor.
Taylor was okay. Taylor wasn't great.
Taylor was okay. Taylor won the game in the Super Bowl.
No. Taylor was above average. No doubt.
Come on. John Taylor was above average.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you made another point earlier is concerning Brady's running and presence pocket. If you remember Joe Montana, his first couple Super Bowls he won, his best plays were out of the pocket with Bill Walsh. You remember the catch, Dwight Clark? That was him scrambling against the Cowboys in the last minute of the game.
Yeah,
he was running.
Big catch. Let's talk about the catch. Let's be honest. And Joe Montana, I love you and I respect your legacy. Don't think that I'm sitting here disrespecting you, right? You can't tell me that wasn't a lucky throw. Please tell me that. Do you think that was all written out the way that it was supposed to go? Or at that point in time, Clark was wide open and he made that catch that happened at the right time. He just threw that up. He was running out of bounds. If Clark wasn't there, that would have been an incomplete pass out of the back of the end zone. He threw that up. Clark jumped at the highest point that he could have and made that catch, which I don't want to take too much away from that play, which is an awesome play of football. But come on. Let's be real here.
I'm a Cowboys fan, and that was like one of my first real memories as a Cowboy fan. So that play broke my heart. If you remember, I can go in this crazy stuff about that game. The Niners had like 5 turnovers to the Cowboys 2, and the Niners still won the game 28-27. Montana's Super Bowl, like I said, other than that Cincinnati one, he was never even – all the other ones were basically blowouts. Brady
blowouts,
last year,
yeah.
If it wasn't –
if it wasn't for Brady's last year, you tell me what happened in last year against the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. What was it? One offsides play by Kansas City, and the game was over. Brady threw the interception. I mean, you were watching the game like me for a split second. You thought the game was over. And then all of a sudden, like you see every Sunday now, there's some late flag coming 5 seconds later that you didn't see on the TV. You said, okay, they're out. Kansas City's going to the Super Bowl. Oh, just wait. Kansas City was offsides. So they were on the ropes. All of Brady's Super Bowls, I would say, have been close. I don't think they've blown out any team. Actually, a couple of the games, Atlanta, they had probably had no business winning. They were down 28-3. Carolina, they beat by a field goal at the end. The first Rams, they won by three. The McNabb throwing
the
up
the
Super
Eagles,
Bowl.
The Eagles game was three. He won. The Eagles game was a three-point game.
Montana came out and blew you out. He got up on you, didn't let up, and whoever the backup up was playing up at the end of those Super Bowls or in the NFC Championship games. I'm not taking away anything from Brady, but Montana 4-for-4 in those games, other than that Bengals game, wasn't even close. You can't compare Brady and Montana for statistical. Who's better statistically? Just because the game has changed. If you throw 40 Super Bowls, let me just finish that point real quick. You throw 40 Super Bowls back in the 80s, it's like, oh my gosh, you remember one year Marino, I think in 84, he broke the record. What did he throw? Like, what was that? It's 53 or something like that. I might be off by a few, but that was the best by a landslide that the league's ever seen. If you threw 40 back then, that was a major accomplishment. You throw 40 in today's NFL, that's just a little bit above average season. So, you know, I realize, Brady, the 1 year with Moss was a magical year, and I won't take that away from you. But statistically, you just can't compare who's better from yards or touchdown passes. I just don't buy that argument because that was 20 years ago from Montana to Brady.
Right, which I agree. It's become more of a passing league. But if you think about it, he had a West Coast offense and a balanced attack. Like, people – and this is why I get to see a lot of what was going on. My brother's a diehard Niner fan. So, and one of his favorite players – well, his favorite players were, of course, Rice, but Roger Craig and Rathman. So he had a running back and a fullback that toted the ball. Rathman wasn't just back there blocking. Like, they gave Rathman the ball to pick up yards. And he was a part of the passing game. Like, Brady – if I really think of the running backs that Brady had that were successful with him, Corey Dillon – I'll give Maroney some credit, but everybody else, what am I going to say, Antoine Smith? Or do I use the running back that he's working with now with Burkhead and White and those guys? Like, these aren't household names, and Brady's getting it done with little, or not to say little, but the guys that you don't know that's going to come out there and make a difference. Like, your defense is guessing on who the ball is going to go to. Plus, Brady is spreading this ball around to six or seven people that you have to defend, let alone your guys are ganging up on Gronkowski. You're worried about his biggest target while he has a little speedster eating you up underneath. Like, let alone, I can't think of a big deficit that Joe Montana had to come back from being down, 25 points in the Super Bowl. I don't even want to go into his postseason. Like, I'm trying my best to stay away from what Brady had to do in the postseason. But just to throw that out there, like, he was down 25 and to make that happen and I have
Montana football, would never get down. Montana would never let him get himself get down 25.
Listen to what I'm saying. He has the weapons around him to get that done. Brady didn't have Rice. He didn't have Taylor. He didn't have – listen, Gronk was his Clark. Outside of that, name is Roger Craig. Name is Jerry Rice. And Jerry Rice is Edelman. And, like, this is the crazy part. That, like, he made Edelman so relevant that Edelman's postseason receiving yards are rivaling Jerry Rice's. He's the only receiver right now with those type of numbers right now. Who would think that Julian Edelman will be in a conversation with Jerry Rice?
Well, that's because of games played. I think Edelman at this point is probably played more than
than Rice. I don't have – well, here would be another point I would make that would contradict that. So I will give you the – I will say this, and this is kind of hard to say because I love Bill Walsh, but I think Brady benefits from the best coach of all time by far. I think he was head and shoulders of Bill Walsh, Jimmy Johnson, Joe Gibbs, whoever you want to go with. And not just Belichick's, what he does on a given Sunday, his management of the salary cap and what he can get out of these players. Now, see, the problem is back in the 80s and early 90s, there really was no salary cap like it was today. That's why teams – had dynasties, you know, the Redskins, the Giants, some of those teams were good, you know, for 8-10 years in a row. Nowadays it's, you know, 1 or 2, 3 teams. And then the rest of the league from every given year could be, you know, good or bad. It's just Belichick's mastery of the salary cap that is putting Brady in these positions year after year to add up these Super Bowl wins and appearances. Now, I mean, you can't say Brady without Belichick. They go hand in hand, in my opinion.
But in that sense, that you're going to do the same thing for Montana and Walsh. That's not fair at all. That's not fair at all. You can't do that. You can't do that. Because at one point in time, before Belichick came reigning, they were putting Walsh in that discussion. So come on. Like, you got to be fair with the discussion.
Well, hey, once Walsh left, Seifert, they were running up the scores with Seifert for 3 years, and they won a Super Bowl with Steve Young.
Still that same West Coast offense, though. They still ran the same offense, though. Nothing really changed, and it was the same thing that Young saw. Now you have a left-handed version, but you got a left-handed version of Montana that's scrambling, that could take off, let alone he's from the city away from mine, being in Greenwich, Connecticut, and I'm in Stanford. But nevertheless, I mean, that offense didn't change much, and they still had the pieces. Let me not say the pieces. They had even more pieces around Jay Rice. They had Ricky Waters. They had J.J. Stokes. They had Ty Streets. Like, they had pieces around them at this point in time. So it was different. And Deion was there. Like, Deion came there. Like, the best
player
of all time.
Deion was there one year.
That's championship year. This is the championship year that you're talking about. I'm helping you. I'm making a claim right here. You know, so.
Here would be another point
Listen, give me the strongest defenders that Brady had to work with defensively. McGinnis, and I'm not going to take anything away from McGinnis. I respect McGinnis. I met Willie, so I love him personally because I know him. Or Teddy Bruschi, Mike Vrabel. Like these aren't the household names that you're used to. You're not used to – you're used to Ronnie Lott. You're used to Matt Millen or Deion Sanders, like I'm hitting on, or Eric Davis. Like, these are names that people know. I really don't want to say that. I don't really want to say a no-name defense in New England, because you know these guys because we've seen them. But compared to the greats that were in that core for the 49ers, it's different.
Everyone's a prisoner of the moment. Obviously, who have you seen most recent? Tom Brady, of course, especially the younger generation, probably up to 35. So obviously for everyone, you know, probably 40 and under, they're going to automatically say Brady no matter what. I remember Joe Montana. Up until Joe Montana, once I saw Joe Montana retire, I said, that was the best quarterback I've ever even seen. And I think you would agree with that. Maybe Elway's a close second, but Elway had his fair struggles early on as well. So I think
Elway was losing a lot in the big game. Every time he got in the big game, he lost. Like, Elway didn't become successful until Terrell Davis came around
and they
and they started running the ball more.
But just to kind of recap my argument, in my opinion, there's Brady, Montana, and everybody else. I guess your opinion, it's Brady and everybody else. So I'm not discrediting Brady. I'm just saying, from what I remember with Joe Montana, he is right there with Brady. And, you know, nowadays, look, Brady, he has what, TB12? He has the best technology, nutrition that we've ever seen on this planet.
and Montana's best days were up until about 90. You know, that was 30 years ago. So
right.
Brady has all that going with going for him too. Who's to say if Montana, you know, had the technology Brady does today, he couldn't have put on a couple more years because they still had a good team and then with the Niners before Young took over. Maybe he added another Super Bowl. Maybe he was 5-5.
Right. And this is where I throw that in. And I love this part of the discussion, right? And like I said before, previously, this is before you came on, I sat on this show back in, I think, 2011, 2012, and at the time it was me and my co-host, James Greenwood. And I said to him in the middle of the show, this was right after they lost the second time to the Giants, I said, Brady won't win another Super Bowl. Not only did he win another Super Bowl, but he went there, I think, five more times. He went five more times. He lost two, he won three, right? And it was to the point where it was like I had to eat my shoe because I basically had to admit it to James, and we kept rattling on. It's like I got to understand where he's coming from. But now, me being older in life and approaching the 40s, you know what I'm saying, and understanding greatness, and just like you're saying, being a prisoner of the moment, but not only being a prisoner of the moment, but relishing the moment also. Like, I had to look at, and I hate to kind of mix sports, but I'm going to mix sports because I'm cooking right now. Like looking at basketball, right? It's one of my favorite sports, football and basketball right there. They neck and neck. And I can't stand the Lakers. I don't like the Lakers at all. I love Shaquille O'Neal, but, you know, especially when Shaq and Kobe had their run, I couldn't take it. Like, I didn't like not one bit of it. And all I wanted to see was how it would break up. I didn't want to see, Kobe become any more successful because he was the animal. And once you started hearing things about Shaq and Kobe not getting along, Shaq left. Kobe had to, you know, hold the mantle while Phil Jackson left also. The Lakers were terrible. So now I'm like, I want to see it with the pieces around them. I don't want to just see everything fall apart in front of Kobe because he doesn't have the pieces to be competitive. You know what I'm saying? And then next, you know, Kobe started getting injured. And it's like, I didn't want his story to end like that. I wanted to see, like, the game start to pass him by. You know what I'm saying? So I'm looking at Brady and it's saying, like, damn, like, Brady is at 42 and giving us everything. And the crazy part about it is I think about 2 or 3 years ago, he went to, like, it's like an island. I don't know if it was Hawaii or whatever, but he played a pickup basketball game with Michael Jordan. And you know they probably shared stories on what to do or what they would have did at the end of career. And I know Mike probably told him, get all that you can out of your career because you're probably going to miss the game. And the next thing you know, like, a few months later, Brady's like, I'm playing until I'm 45. If he's at 42 right now, and the only thing, and I'm going to knock on wood because I don't want to see it happen, the only thing that probably will stop Brady is if somebody comes in that backfield and lay Brady out. Even if somebody risks taking a flag, if somebody's like, yo, you know what, if you get back there and sack him, lay him out. You know what I'm saying? If Brady takes one of those hits that he got to shake his head and try to shake the cobwebs off, that's the only thing that's going to stop Brady. Other than that, if that line continues to protect him, you gotta respect it. And I didn't care less. He's 42 now. He played the next season up until 45. If he don't even get another Super Bowl, this is still the best run that you've seen. Like, even right now, they're unbeaten with injuries, with Edelman out of the field, with Gronkowski retiring. He is still doing this right now. Still.
Yeah, and playing who? Pittsburgh, the Jets, and
Pittsburgh is a quality team before Ben got hurt. Pittsburgh was a quality team before Ben got home.
Okay, all right. Hey, you opened a window for me, and I just want you to play along real quick if you don't mind. So you're talking about longevity, and you brought up Michael Jordan. So what's Michael Jordan's NBA Finals record and Joe Montana Super Bowls combined?
10-0.
10-for-10. Okay.
All right.
So, if you're going to make that argument, are you telling me if LeBron James plays longer than Michael Jordan and keeps on, and let's say he gets to 42, there's no major signs of seeing LeBron slow down, are you going to tell me just because LeBron James at 42, with better technology now, if he gets in another, say, 4 or 5 finals and wins, say, like 2-3, that's going to make LeBron James better than Michael Jordan all time just because he lasted longer than Michael Jordan. Not better than Michael Jordan in his prime, but just lasted longer than Michael Jordan. Are you going to tell me that's going to make LeBron James put him over the hump to being the greatest of all time over Jordan?
Obviously, you don't know me. Second, if you listen to our basketball show, you would hear how much I poo-pooed LeBron in the discussion up against Michael Jordan. And don't get me wrong, LeBron is an awesome, he's a great player. Like he's one of the legends. I got to even throw more, as many accolades I could throw on top of his name, I'm going to put it there. But with the comparison of him to Michael Jordan is ridiculous. He actually tried to give his own self the statement of him being the greatest player of all time because of the block that he got on Iguodala in that championship where they came back from, you know, winning game seven up against the Warriors. Him giving himself the leg up trying to say that he was better than Mike, he's already been to nine. He's been to nine NBA finals. He's lost six. There's no way that I can say that, oh, LeBron went to the next five NBA finals and won.
Then we agree. Yeah.
Look, you got to let me talk to you, too, now. You can't just give it to me. I'm trying to help you now. Like,
all right.
It's a different scenario. Look. Okay, and Brady's been in the same thing. So, like, let's use Brady and LeBron, just like you said, right? LeBron's been to nine NBA finals. Brady's been to nine Super Bowls. LeBron has won three and lost six. Brady has won six and lost three. So we're using the same numbers. Hell, the crazy part about it is that these two have records. One is severely under 500. One is severely above 500. Like it's severely. Like, it's already bad enough to look at it that he has a Super Bowl record. Like it's a record. Like, it's a mid-season record. Like I'm saying. Like, 6-3. Like, he still has more to go. And the way that they're playing right now, if the Bills don't slow them down this weekend, it's like Brady going to probably win the East again and potentially get another first-round bye. And everybody's like, oh, I'm sick of it. They got to go to Gillette and win it. If they don't stop them at Gillette, they're in the AFC Championship again and go to another Super Bowl. That's your problem. Like, everybody in the NFL got to step up to try to get to them. If the Giants are the only team that has a defensive front that's able to get to Brady, but nobody else can get it done, what's the problem? Like, everybody else got the same two defensive tackles if they're running a 4-3, same two defensive ends that can create pressure. If they're not getting back there, and that's exactly what Tuck and you, when you were saying, they wasn't going to let them be blocked. Antonio Pierce, I'm saying, they wasn't going to let them be blocked. Everybody needs to come up with the same, you know, game plan and scheme to try to get to Brady. That's what it takes. They got to get him to the ground and make him antsy and make the crazy throws. Like, and they can't. Like, and now he's figuring it out to get the ball out of his hands and not sit there and hang on to the ball. Like, especially in a league where the athlete is bigger, stronger, faster. He's seeing bigger and stronger and faster defensive linemen, defensive ends, and getting it done where these guys are getting taken out of the game, where you got guys like Aaron Donald who are winning Defensive Player of the Year and can't even really get the break like they wanted to do in the Super Bowl, and they still won, and he still made that a fun game up against a defensive battle Super Bowl.
Well, time, listen, and I'm running on time here, so I'll just kind of make a closing comment, and then I hope you do something Sunday, because I got to run your show back, because you were right on that Jets pick. Hey, I think against the spread, I was hitting a lot of them right, because I called that Indy game against Atlanta. I called the Saints beating Seattle, and I called a few more.
Yeah, I got all of the games. I was horrible. I was so horrible. That's why I started the show off. I was like, I'm so mad at myself. I lost so many games this weekend. It was not funny. Like, and just watching how a lot of these games just fell apart, like, late, especially the Arizona game, where the Arizona Cardinals had the game taken care of, and then Carolina stormed right back and took the game away from them, and McCaffrey turned into Superman again. Well, he took Cam's cape and put it on his back and took care of the Cardinals, man. So many games just fell apart for me. I'm furious on the way that things went. So a lot of guys caught me this weekend, but for the past 2 weekends, I was up. But definitely, man, this is an awesome discussion. I definitely couldn't wait to get to it. But like I said, man, and a lot of people try to throw Peyton in the discussion. A lot of people try to throw whomever, Aikman. Like, the only one that
is
interesting
is you can't throw Aikman. I'm the biggest Cowboys fan out there, Timeless. Believe me. Ever since, like we were talking, that 81 – NFC Championship between the Niners and Cowboys. That's how far I go back. Aikman was a very Hall of Fame, solid quarterback. He just had the greatest supporting cast around him that I ever saw. And I mean up and down.
running back, receiver, tight end, offensive line, Charles Haley, defensive line, secondary, linebackers. Aikman just had such a complete team and a great coach, Jimmy Johnson, with him. But when those started to go away, when free agency hit in the mid-90s and those players started to leave, Alvin Harper, you know, Ken Norton Jr., Aikman went downhill pretty quick. And he wasn't winning games by himself when the people like we're talking, Montana and Brady, could win games by themselves. So I agree with you, with Aikman. Terry Bradshaw was the same way. How many Hall of Famers from the 70s are on the Steelers?
But you can't take that away from – if you're doing that with Aikman and Bradshaw, you can't take that away from Joe Montana. Joe Montana had clear-cut talent all across the board, too. He didn't have any weaknesses, like, within his teams or his runs while he's winning Super Bowls. Like, think about it. Roger Craig is a household name. Tom Rathman is a whole household name. I don't even want to talk about 80. Like, 82, John Taylor, they know. They know the tight end core that he had. Ronnie Lott is like if I wasn't a diehard Cane, and I'm being honest, if it wasn't for Ed Reed, I would still say that Ronnie Lott is still the best safety that I saw. But Ed Reed makes that discussion very interesting. This is the difference about Troy Polamalu. Troy Polamalu could get taken out of a game being bloodthirsty. Like, Troy will go up there and blitz, and if he gets picked up, there's nobody in the defensive backfield. And that's happened to him a ton of times. That's why a lot of the times while we're talking about it right now, why the Steelers weren't successful, because Polamalu will get pulled into trying to blitz, get picked up, and then his one-on-one coverage on the outside with a bunch of speedster or quicker receivers. Like, and there's a difference between quick and fast. So all they got to do is make that quick move and pick up a first down. That's why I wouldn't put Troy Polamalu.
I can't argue because I'm a huge Ed Reed fan.
Welcome to the U country. You're here. But the thing about Troy Polamalu is he got caught up blitzing, and he would be that maniac, like that kamikaze, to try to amp up the team. If he doesn't make the play, you watch the morale of the Steelers fall apart. Like, and this was yearly. Like, I think he was part of both of those Super Bowl runs, the one up against the Seahawks and the one against the Chargers. The Cardinals. But still, like, I prefer Ed Reed, and especially there was a play that Belichick and Brady hit on, showing him how he was the ball, how he baited Peyton Manning. He made Peyton make him think that he was running one side of the field. Peyton made the throw. He was right there to pick him off. So, just knowing that he played the game within the game to try to bait one of the legendary quarterbacks being Peyton Manning. So I know Troy Polamalu didn't play ball like that. Troy Polamalu played recklessly, and I hate to say it like about him because he was a good player.
All right, fair enough. But anyway, I guess I'll just say this finally. You can't get me to change my mind on Joe Montana. Him and Brady, 1A, 1B, however you want to put them. I'm going to give your listeners a pick for tomorrow night's game since I'm here, and I probably won't talk to you if I call you Sunday. I love the Eagles at 4.5 points tomorrow night. Jeffries is going to be back
Wait, hold on. So you're taking the Eagles, right?
And the points. I want to make that clear that I pick the games by the points, not – just who's going to win and who's going to lose. That's
here goes the crazy part. No. Where do you have it at? Because I seen it at 1.5 yesterday. Where is it at now?
The spread's been 4.5 all week long.
I seen it at 1.5 yesterday. So you're saying it's 4.5 now.
It's been 4.5 since Sunday night when the lines came out. Yeah, I don't. Maybe they had. I have no idea where you said. Maybe that was like a first half wager or something. But it's been 4.5. Because it was a little higher because I think they just announced today Alshon Jeffrey is a full go for tomorrow, and they have a couple other guys for the Eagles that are going to be playing. DeSean Jackson's still out, but that's been like their area of their team that basically have no one, a receiver, except, you know, Aguilar. And he lost the game against Atlanta, and he's been dropping passes, so at least they have some – backups. I haven't been sold completely on Green Bay yet. I still think they're figuring things out with Aaron Rodgers and the new coach, the offensive scheme. I think their defense have been solid, but I don't think they played anybody with the good offense. They beat the Bears. They beat
Denver, and who did they beat the second game? I can't remember, but, you know, everyone's saying the Packers' defense is so much better than last year. It might be better.
They beat the Vikings week two. That's a good offense that they beat week two.
A good, decent offense. I'm not going to give Kirk Cousins. I'm not going to crown him yet. But
they got receivers. Thielen and Diggs are good, and Dalvin Cook is a home run hitter. If you hear them on this air, they'll tell you I am not a big Kirk Cousins fan. I do not like him by any means. He panics a lot.
Anyway, I think the Eagles are too good to go to 1-3. They could, but I just think it's going to be a close game. I don't know who's going to win. The Eagles might win by a point. They might lose by a field goal, but I'm getting 4.5 points. Everyone can look up the lines. That's where it's at today. So I'll give the pick to you and your listeners, and I'll talk to you again Sunday to back it up. Eagles plus 4.5 tomorrow night, and I'll leave you with that, Tom.
Right now, I'm looking at the Westgate. The Westgate has it at 4. So even if you're getting the hook. So if you're getting the hook, then you're taking Philly regardless, right? But to win the game outright, you're saying Green Bay.
Since it's 4 on your show right now, then I'll take it at what it is. It's 4 points, and I'll give it out at 4. That's what I'm taking. Eagles plus 4.
Okay, but you're taking Green Bay outright.
No, I'm not taking either team. I have no idea outright who's going to win. I don't pick the games
Come on. You're taking the points and you take Philly all the way out.
Okay.
Take Philly all the way out. Right. Why don't you?
I'll take them Philly to win, but it's not a strong opinion. My strong opinion is on the spread at 4 points. But I'll take Philly as an opinion, a small opinion, to Philly to win it.
Here's the thing, Timeless. This is why I say, if Alshon Jeffery is a go tomorrow, this does make it a difference. But the Green Bay defense has stepped up from what we've seen in years past. I don't know if they come out here and threaten, Philly to not make things happen, because Wentz is a problem in itself, and for them to fall short the way that they did. I mean, they could have beat the Lions last week. I mean, that last play of the game where it was that fourth down play, Rashad Melvin missed the ball completely. Like, that was a drop pass. Like, that was supposed to be a touchdown catch, and he dropped it. Like, that, and also the tight end got it, but that they still got points on that play. But things could have happened. Like, Wentz could make things happen in this game, but I don't know. It's an iffy situation for me up against Green Bay, especially at Lambeau. It's a different beast being up there in Wisconsin.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think the Packers. There's a lot of teams in the NFL, Timeless, that are 3-0. In my opinion, that have no right to be 3-0. It just worked out because I think their schedule has been advantaged to them. And I'll include my Cowboys in there as well. I'm not impressed at all about beating, you know, the Giants, the Redskins, and Miami at all. You know, Buffalo's 3-0. I have no idea. They could be a fraud. So a lot of these 3-0 teams are going to get exposed, and I think tomorrow night you're going to see a Green Bay team that isn't as good as everybody thinks they are.
If the Eagles go up there, I won't put that weight on you. I'll just say if they win the game outright, I'll give you some credit on the show. I got to figure out something to do for you middle of the show Sunday. I got to do something. But
I know what I want. I want a quick Carmelo Anthony shout out in the middle of your show. If the Eagles win,
stop. He's not even in the league, and you're hanging on to Carmelo. Would you cut it out?
The Nets are trying to get him. I just saw the Nets are trying to get him. And, of course, now that the season's about to start, we don't want him. He was going to play with, Duran and Kyrie, but, of course, they don't want him, just like everyone else. Yeah.
Right. Well, you got to think that he's practiced with him, and he's trying to get his name out there to be relevant. I'm going to be honest. You were right about the Carmelo situation. But I don't want to see Carmelo's career end like this. I don't want to see him end like he can't get a farewell tour going or take his last shot. You can't even remember the last shot he took. The last shot he took was like November something with the Rockets, where they waived him or they released him and told him, we don't want you to play ball here no more. Like, that's the way Carmelo's career is going to end.
I can tell you where his next shot's going to come from, and I can tell you right now with 100% guaranteed to all you. It's going to come in the Big Three League. It's going to come in the old-timers three-on-three league. That'll be Carmelo Anthony's next shot. You will see will be in the three-on-three league with all the old-timers, Kenyon Martin and Marbury and whoever's in that league.
That's horrible. You might be right because here's the reason why I agree with you. Because I think because the reason he doesn't play defense, because he don't want to expend so much energy playing defense and getting up and down the floor, is the reason why that half court thing would suit him. So I don't want to see it happen like that, but the potential is there. The potential is there. All right.
Hey, sir, y'all see you Sunday.
All right, definitely. And I'm like I said, I'm going with the Packers to win this game. To cover this, damn, it's tough, especially if Alshon is playing. I am going to say the Packers still cover. I think the Packers take care of business. I can't lose, man. These dudes took care of me last week. Like, they really wrapped me up tight. I'm going to give you guys the outcome on, the totals. But I lost a hell of a lot of games this past weekend. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the brunch on Sunday. Trying to get these things going. Everybody fell out of the loop on me. But on that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Yeah. Classic hip hop shit. Dr. D-R-E. Rose and Jay. Let's get them. We started out mopping floors. And now we front row at the awards. Number one for the last 20 years. If you real, motherfucker, scream cheers. Motherfucker, scream cheers. Yeah, and it is what it is. He wanted to shine at the swap meet. To the white boys, got him in that hot seat. Only love it when I hair long. You should listen to this beat through my headphones. Money long, number one, 20 years strong. Fuck a gym, I am him, Andre Young. G5s and 6-4s, Dre got him. If the bitch bad, I got her in red bottom. Great weed, nice home, bread proper. Tech 9, one chamber, top shotter. Bentley coupe, new yacht, my helicopter. Born broke, real nigga, straight out of Compton. The fuck you magazine niggas want from me? I rewrote the game, nigga, now talk money. All black on my Al Capone shit. I built the house, nigga, get your own shit. I only love it when her hair long. You should listen to this beat through my headphones.
See y'all niggas. Hit the switches on that shit one time. Let the top down. I came a long way from the weed game. 20 sack seats at the heat game. And I'm still strapped with the heat, man. Came stepping on a nigga's feet, man. Hey, best sneakers came from the G gang. Cousin was a crip, said it was a C thing. Brown bag money in a duffel bag. Fuck them all with them, then we got a double back. The homie whipping chickens in his mama kitchen. On a mission, say he did it for his son's tuition. Real niggas' dreams coming to fruition. Stumble, but I never fall, leaning on my pistol. I only love her when the ass fat. We should listen to this track in my Maybach. I'm just trying to be a billionaire. Come and suck a dick for a millionaire.
It's just different. I know it feels different. I only love it for eyes brown. Play this shit while you play around with my crown. King H.O., y'all should know by now. But if you don't know, meanings on the wall in all my rooms. Niggas couldn't fuck with my daughter's room. Niggas couldn't walk in my daughter's socks. Banksy bitches, Basquiat. I ran through that buck 50 Live Nation running me. They working on another deal, they talking 250. I'm holding out for three. 275 and I just might agree. XD boy used to park my Beamer. Now look at me, I can park in my own arena. I only love it for weave new. I'm still a hood nigga, what you want me to do? Been hopping out the BM with your BM. Taking the places you can't go with your BDM. Screaming coffee DM until I'm a dead poet. Robin Williams shit, I deserve a Golden Globe, bitch. Take an ace in the meanwhile. You ain't gotta keep this calendar, it's just a freestyle. Fuck rap money, I made more of crates. Fuck show money, I spent that on Drake. close the curtain, fuck boy out my face. I whip the coat, let the lawyer beat the case. Murder was the case that they gave me. I killed the Hermes store, somebody save me. Something to the max like wavy. To the max, I'm so wavy. Used to shop for TJ Maxx back in 83. I don't even know if it was open then. I ain't no Oprah then. Had the XL80 bike. Loud motor, they be like, damn, when I'm coming through, ring. Had a grill in 88. Y'all niggas is bleak. You got all that, right? I love the shit like my own daughter. I spray these niggas, baby, just like daddy taught you. Young, it's just different.
I'm gone.